Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Another good night to be in church.
Amen.
What's the matter with you folks? Don't you have anything else to do on a Tuesday night? What are you, crazy? You know how many people think you're crazy for being in church on a Tuesday night and a Monday night and a Sunday night and all day Sunday?
Amen.
Bunch of crazy people. You're going to cause the world out there to tilt. Good for you. Praise the Lord. I want to continue on. I didn't even talk to Pastor about this. I want to continue on that very same note. I want to know and hear how many of you are thankful for the affliction that God sends in your life. Well, at least they got 1.5 hands. Yeah. And the song that my wife sang, the affliction that God sends in our lives. The problem is, you know, you can look at things from different points of view. You know, you have the pessimist and you have the optimist. The pessimist says, it never worked. This guy says, oh, yeah, but there's a chance it can work. It depends on how you look at things. Affliction is a very important part of your Christian growth. And God uses it. There's a purpose behind it. It's not because some wild thing, some crazy thing happened to you. There's a purpose behind it. That's what we're going to look at tonight. You know, there are three things that we're to preach the word by: reprove, rebuke, and exhort. And I feel like for the last couple nights, I've done enough reproving and rebuking. So I figured tonight I'm going to give you some exhortation. So you can go home saying, yippee, I feel better about myself already. Turn your Bible, if you would, to Matthew chapter 9. We live in a very difficult time, some very troubling times. You know, from the COVID-19 and the protesting riots, a divided country, media lies, universities that brainwash our young people, economic collapse, transgenderism, you know, inflation, and all the rest. I remember back when I got saved, shortly after. Remember, I got saved in 1984. And shortly thereafter, I remember coming across a verse in the Bible, Isaiah 5:20, which talks about in the last days, men will call good evil and evil good. They'll put light for darkness and darkness for light and sweet for bitter and bitter for sweet. Everything will be opposite. And I said to myself back then in the 80s, you know, that might happen sometime in the real far future, but I doubt that'll ever happen in my lifetime. We are living it. We are living it today. Whatever, I mean, it's almost so bad now that whatever Bible-believing fundamentalists say this is the way God would have it, the rest of the world says no.
Amen.
Absolutely not. We want exactly the opposite of that. And that's the world we live in. How do we get through it? How do we get through it with the right attitude? Because, we, you know, the folks, the battleground is right here. It's 8 inches. The Bible says to be carnally minded is death, to be spiritually minded is life and peace. You can have peace in spite of everything going on around you. You can have peace if the battleground between your ears is right, and you can stay spiritually minded. So if there's two minds, the carnal mind and the spiritual mind, you can understand that you can have two different points of view depending on which one is looking. The carnal mind or the spiritual mind have two different totally points of view. So we need to look at affliction the way God looks at affliction. I say that it'd be better that we look at it God's way than man's way. Amen?
Amen.
Let's look in Matthew chapter 9. The Bible says, and he entered into a ship, verse 1, and passed over and came into his own city. And behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. Lord, please give me the strength tonight to proclaim your word faithfully. We love you. We thank you. Pray your perfect will be accomplished in all of our lives, and we'll be sure to give you the praise, the honor, and the glory for it, for it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen.
Amen.
Notice it says, son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. Christian, no matter what happens to you, no matter what happens to you in this life, If you're saved tonight, you should be of good cheer. Whatever we go through down here is for a very, very minuscule amount of time in comparison to eternity. And our enemy can never take away our security. He can never take away our salvation. So Jesus is saying here, you're absolved in your afflictions. Be of good cheer. You're absolved in your afflictions. Absolved means to be forgiven. Forgiven as if it never happened. As far as the east is from the west. Turn to Psalm chapter 40 with me. Sons, be of good cheer. Thy sins be forgiven thee. Psalm chapter 40. And in verse 1, the Bible says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. And he hath put a new song in my mouth. Folks, from a crying, horrible pit, you and I were rescued. You and I were rescued. Now, I want you to notice it also says miry clay. Out of the miry clay. You know what miry clay is? Being from upstate New York, we remember miry clay because the snow and the ice would sit until springtime came and it thawed and all of that water would seep down into the ground. Then we'd go out and play. We'd have our boots on. We'd step down in that mud. We'd lift our leg and only our sock was there. And that mud would not let my boot go. That's miry clay. And the devil did not want to let you go. And Jesus Christ said, let him go. Let him go. He's my son now. He's my daughter now. And he took you and put you on a solid rock. Established your goings, gave you a little pat in the fanny, told you to get on going now, and I'll put a new song in your mouth while you go. Be of good cheer. No matter what happened to you today, no matter what happened to you yesterday or last week, no matter what happens to you tomorrow or in the future, you're absolved. Amen. You're forgiven. And nobody can ever take that away from you. I remember back in 1964, I was 6 years old. You can figure that one out if you want to. But I was 6 years old, 1964, and Rochester had a blizzard. An incredible blizzard, where the snow banks went up to the gutters of the house. And about 8 feet in the air or so. And I asked my dad, I was six, my brother was five, we always played together. I said, Dad, can we go outside and play in the snow? And he said, as long as you stay off the snow drifts. Now my brother, he would obey. But there was another party that didn't always obey what his daddy told him to do. As a matter of fact, if daddy said up, I said down. I was kind of like the Isaiah 5:20. But anyway, I went up onto the snowbank, up onto the snowdrift. I was holding onto the gutter of the house. I said, Rick, look at me. I'm holding onto the gutter. Look at this. Wow, look at how high up I am. Then I fell down into the snowdrift, right up to here. And then I tried to climb out. And every time I tried to make a move, I sank deeper and deeper. And I was only about this tall. And I sank deeper and deeper. I remember when it was here, and I was crying. And I was screaming because I kept sinking. And I knew I had not hit bottom. And my brother ran to get my dad. In the meantime, I was trying to climb out, and the snow was coming down now on top of my head. I was being buried alive. And then all of a sudden, I remember it so vividly. Then this big paw comes down over the top. And he said, grab on, son. And he pulled me up and out. And that's exactly what Jesus Christ did for us. And then he beat my tail. I love you, son. Bend over. But that's exactly what the Lord did for you if you're saved here tonight, and that's exactly what he did for me. He reached out over the pits of hell and said, come up and out. Miry clay's not going to hold you. I've got you. And if I've got you, I'll never let you go, because no man can take you out of the Father's hand. No man. So I ask myself, how are you doing tonight? How am I doing tonight? Regardless of what happened today. Folks, if we're saved, we should be of good cheer. We should be it seriously. You know, I used to live next door to a guy when I was living in Maryland. And my neighbor would come out of his apartment the same time. Every day we'd come out the same time. I'd come out, he'd come out. And I'd always say, hey, man, how you doing today? Same answer for 2 years. Making it, that's about it. Making it, that's about it. That's what he said every morning. And is that your testimony as a Christian? Making it, that's about it. I remember as a pastor standing at the church door greeting people as they would come in on a Sunday morning. And I'd say, hey, how you doing today, Brad? How you doing, Mary? How are things going? Oh, pretty good. I said, oh, I'm sorry. I thought you were saved. Well, I am saved. And you're just doing pretty good? Really? You're absolved? You're never going to go to hell? Never? Never? No matter what you do, you'll never go to hell? You've got the victory over death. You've got the victory over the grave. You've got the victory over the devil. You've got the victory over the world. And you're just doing, okay. You see, it's all in how we look at it. Amen. What mind is it? The carnal mind or the spiritual mind? Amen. If we're saved here tonight, and you know, besides that, we're living in America. And as bad as America is, it's still the best place to live in the world. Amen. You still have your freedoms. I know they're coming against them, but at least now nobody's, you know, threatening to kill you for coming to this church. Amen. They're doing that in China. Yeah. Yeah. Be of good cheer. Amen. And while you're at it, tell your face, amen. You know, it would make it a whole bunch easier if we obeyed James 1:24, which says, For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. You know, we best not forget what manner of man we used to be. That's right. And that's what's going to help us to be of good cheer. If we remember what we were, what we deserved. Yes. We deserved it. Amen. Mercy is not getting what we do deserve. Grace is getting that which we don't deserve. God showed us mercy. Oh, my goodness. And that's why I say, and mark it down, put it somewhere in your Bible. It's important. Every day you should thank God for your salvation. Remember the day. Remember the day. And search out the Old Testament how many times he told the Jews that. Remember the day that I led you out of Egypt. Remember the day that I freed you from bondage. Remember, and you used to call it bitter bondage. Don't ever forget that it was bitter. Don't ever forget you were enslaved. And I set you free. Just remember the day, Christian. Why? Why should I remember the day? Because especially if you do that at the beginning of every day, I guarantee you there'll be a skip in your step that might, you know, have been missing otherwise. Yeah. You know, people, just imagine your house is on fire and two of your children are trapped upstairs in the second story of your house and you can't get to them because of the fire. But the fire department comes and a certain fireman risks his life and goes into that house and brings both of your children out alive. Do you think you'd ever forget his name? Do you think you'd ever forget the day? Do you think you'd ever forget to be thankful for the person that sacrificed and risked his life to save your children? You'd never forget it. How is it we're so quick to forget what Jesus Christ did for us? Remember the day. Turn your Bible to Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. And look with me, if you would, at verse 13. You know, one thing those nuns did do, they did give me a good education. And they taught me that adjectives were used to describe the noun. And look at all of those beautiful adjectives in verse 13. Looking for that, what does it say? Blessed hope. Blessed is an adjective. And the, what kind of appearing? Glorious appearing. And of the, what God? Great God. And our Jesus Christ or our Savior, Jesus Christ. Those adjectives are in there for a reason. I'm going to ask you, Christian, be honest with yourself tonight. Is the hope still blessed to you?
Yes.
Are you still looking for it?
Yes.
You looking for that blessed hope to come?
Amen.
Are you really? Are you anticipating it? Or are you saying, man, I hope he comes at the end of my life so I get to, you know, live the rest of my life down here. It's going to be nothing compared. Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. We can't even, it says you can't even imagine it. Go ahead, try and imagine the greatest thing in the world. You can't do it. You can't even come close, he said, to what I've got in store for you. Wow. Is he still a great God to you, or is he just God? A great God. Is he just Jesus Christ to you, or is he the Savior, Jesus Christ? Man, those adjectives are in there for a reason. Some would have you believe trusting in Christ will remove all your problems. That doesn't happen. You don't get saved, and then all of a sudden life's going to be hunky-dory. As a matter of fact, your problems start then. You don't have a battle until which time you get saved. There is no new man until you get saved. So the old man sits on the throne and there's no conflict. He does what he wants. He's king. You get saved, now there's an old man and a new man. And the two are battling for the throne. And it's up to you as to who sits on it. So that's where the battle starts, once you get saved. So Jesus Christ does not remove all problems. He's just the Bengay. He makes it feel a whole lot better, amen? But I'd rather suffer affliction from the world's wrath now than to suffer affliction from God's wrath later. So, and if you don't have this marked in your Bible, it would be a good verse to write down. It's 1 Thessalonians 5:9. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. But, point number two, you are appointed to some things. And that one of those things is afflictions. You're appointed unto them. Look at Acts chapter 23. God makes appointments for you. Don't you? Aren't you glad God makes appointments for you? Acts chapter 23. And in verse 11, it says, and the night following, the Lord stood by him and said, be of good cheer, Paul, for as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so must, there's the appointment, thou bear witness also at Rome. Be of good cheer. Point number two, you're appointed to your afflictions. There are appointments from God. You know, Paul's a prisoner on a boat in a horrific storm, about to be bitten by a viper, headed to Rome to get beheaded, and God says, cheer up. God has a sense of humor, you know. He does have a sense of humor. You remember the disciples in Acts chapter 5? They were going throughout the whole city talking about Jesus Christ and preaching Christ. They took them, they put them in jail because they didn't want them testifying anymore. So then, all of a sudden, you know, somebody comes along and says, you don't want to fight against God, da, 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 da. And then the angel of the Lord comes, opens up the door, and lets them out. Then they go preaching through the city again. And what do? They go get them, and they said, we told you not to do this. And then they beat them. And after they beat them, it says they went praising the Lord that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name.
Amen.
I've never been punched in the face and then said, oh, thank you, and praise God for it. But they did. There's just something different. That's what causes the head tilts. You know, I'm sure a bunch of people were saying, These Roman guards just beat the fire out of these guys, and they're rejoicing and praising the Lord and leaping and praying and just everything and preaching Jesus. And then they says they continue to go through the city preaching Jesus. Amen. Even though they just got beat up for it. Amen. They thanked God for it. Two different ways to look at it. Old man, new man. Which one do you use when you look at the afflictions in your life? Turn your Bible to 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. And look at verse 3 with me. That no man should be moved by these afflictions, for yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. They're appointments, Christian. The afflictions that God allows in your life are appointments. Remember Peter? Peter was what I would consider to be a wild man. You know, there's some people that are impulsive. Peter, you know, was like impulsive multiplied. Cutting off a guy's ear, you know, and though nobody else would stand up and say they won't deny him. Lord, I won't deny you. Bid me to walk to you on the water. I'll walk to you on the water, man. I'll do it. Nobody else do it, I'll do it. Peter was just that way. So in Acts chapter 12, Herod had just killed James with the sword. So then they took Peter also, knowing that it pleased the people. Put him in jail. Had four quaternions of soldiers guarding him. Quaternion is four Roman guards, Roman soldiers. I'm not talking about little panty waists. I'm talking about Roman soldiers. Four quaternions is 16 soldiers. And he's chained in between them. And he's screaming at the top of his lungs, God, I can't believe after walking with you for 3.5 years, this is the way you repay me. This is the way you say thank you for all I've done for you. No, wrong version. What is he doing? Excuse me, Peter, don't you know tomorrow you're going to get your head cut off? Yeah, all right. Yeah, you got a pillow? How do you go through your afflictions, Christian? With that kind of peace? With that kind of trust? Yeah. Kind of like the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul was in jail. And in 2 Timothy chapter 4, and he's going to get his head cut off tomorrow. And everyone has abandoned him. It says, all men have forsaken me. And what does he say? I'm going to get my head cut off tomorrow. I can't believe this is the way you repay me for all I've done. I'm the apostle to the Gentiles. And this is the way you say thank you. No, you know what he said? Bring me the parchments. I've got some work to do before I lose my head tomorrow. I want to make sure I get done. I want to make sure I finish my writings. Because that's really important. That's a whole lot important than me getting my head cut off. Because tomorrow I get a promotion. I'm going to glory.
Amen.
You see, it's all in how you look at it. How do you look at your afflictions? Woe is me? Or praise God?
Amen.
It's important, Christian. It's what's going to get you through to the other side. Because the battleground's right here. Turn your Bible to 1 Peter chapter 4. First Peter chapter 4. And now you can put your name in here, okay? In verse 12, instead of saying beloved, put your name in there. Joe, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. Exceeding joy? Getting, you know, afflicted? I'm supposed to have exceeding joy? Yes, if you look at it from the viewpoint of the new man, you can be full of exceeding joy. Because one of the things, I think I shared this with you before, who orchestrated Job's day of adversity? God did. The world didn't do it. The devil didn't do it. It was God that orchestrated Job's day of adversity. And it was tough on Job. But look at how much glory he got at the end of it. Look at how God got glory at the end of it. Look at how Satan had his tail tucked between his legs walking out of the throne room. Yes. And that's what happened when God put the affliction on Job. My day of adversity came in 2008. My first wife had stage 4 breast cancer. And after she found out 2 years later, you know, she had died. And I couldn't do my work. You know, I was the salesman for basically for our company. I couldn't travel. I had to stay home with her at night, carry her to the bathroom at night because she couldn't walk. It went from her breast to her stomach to her liver to her brain and until she died in 2008. And so I ended up having to file bankruptcy. I went broke because I couldn't work. And then her family ended up blaming me for her death and never talked to me again. That was the last day they talked to me at the funeral. The entire family, not only her mom and dad, but her brothers and sisters. And different things happening and my children didn't handle it well. One did, two did not. And it was a very, very difficult time. It was a day of adversity. Did I contemplate quitting at that point? Yes, I did. Did I contemplate walking away? Yes, I did. But I didn't, and I thank God for it. One of the last things my wife did before she died was in church. She prayed that God would send me somebody else quickly because he needs a helpmeet. And God was so gracious to do that with Miss Jenny and sent me a little angel. You should see her wings are beautiful. Amen. But sent me a little angel to take care of me and be a helpmeet to me. And not only is she a helpmeet, she is my assistant in this. She has to make all the RV arrangements, all the campground arrangements. She has to make the airline arrangements, the hotel arrangements. She does the thank you letters out afterwards. I mean, I just put so much on her, and she helps me. She takes care of me. But I'm going to tell you that the glory that God's getting through our lives together now would not have been probably possible without him first having sent that day of adversity. The affliction was an appointment by God to bring forth glory through me. He wants his glory through us. We are his vessels unto honor. And Christian, it's all in how you look at what you're going through in life. Yes, life is hard. Yes, it is. But it's designed. I mean, think about the military. Why do they have basic training? They take these long-haired hippie guys with earrings all over their body and tattoos and turn them into soldiers in like 2 to 3 months. Yes, sir. See, our son, he didn't want to be told what to do anymore. He left home, you know, as a, like, what, 16 years old, 17 years old, left home. Son, you're not going to tell me what to do anymore. I don't like people telling me what to do anymore. I'm going to join the Marines.
Oh, boy, yeah.
And he did. You know, the Bible says about the children of Israel in Egypt that the more they were afflicted, the more they grew. God uses affliction to grow you up. David said, "It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes." God uses affliction to teach us. These afflictions are appointments. Yea, and all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Can we read that backwards? Those that aren't suffering persecution aren't living godly. How about that one? If you're not going through anything, Because of your life in Christ, that's an indication you're not doing anything. You remember, you know, and I love that verse, where that demon-possessed person in Acts says, Jesus I know and Paul I know, but who are you? Wouldn't that be something if the devil knew your name? If the devil knows your name, it's because you're doing something to hinder his work. I bet you the devil knows this man's name. Mm-hmm. I hope he knows my name.
Amen.
Yeah, not that I want to fight him. I'm nothing to fight the devil. But when I have Christ with me, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world.
Amen.
See, we had a lady in our church. Her name was Miss Kitty, kind of like Gunsmoke. And Miss Kitty would travel 105 miles one way to church. Every Sunday, every Wednesday, 105 miles one way. Now, that wasn't the biggest miracle. Biggest miracle was she had rheumatoid arthritis, and she was only in her 30s. She had so many joints already replaced and pins in her body, she couldn't even go through a metal detector at the airport. Well, Miss Kitty, you would never know that Miss Kitty was hurting. Or, you know, imagine a two-hour drive to church when you have rheumatoid arthritis. You get out of that car, you're going to be as stiff as a board. Can't move, can't walk. She would walk into our church, lit up like a Christmas tree. Hey, brother, how are you? So good to see you. God bless you. Anything I can pray for you this week about? My week was great. Praise the Lord. Isn't God good? Isn't good to be in church today? We're going to hear the preaching of the gospel. You never would have known she was hurting. She never complained. She never, woe is me. Never. Well, one day I got a phone call, and it was Miss Kitty, and she was crying. I said, what's the matter, Miss Kitty? She said, the river overflowed its banks, and you know we live down in the valley. They had a double-wide trailer living in the valley, and the river overflowed its banks. It was a big, wide river, and it's flooded the valley. And the water is now up to the threshold of the door, and it's now coming into the house. Pastor, we can't get the kids and the animals out of the house to dry land. The water's too deep. We need help. So I got some of my guys together. We got a boat. We got a pickup truck. Took the boat out there. It was a two-hour drive out there. And water was already in the house at this time. They were scared. Kids were crying. And we took the boat out to the house, and we got them all into the boat and got them to land safely. And everything was good.
Amen.
Then the insurance company cut them a check for the house. And they were able to buy the house closest to the church.
Oh, amen.
That's my God.
Amen.
That's my God.
Amen.
When people go through affliction the right way and God gets the glory, God says, I'll take care of you. The same way he took care of Job.
Amen.
You see, you got to look for it, though. Look for the good. You ever play Legos? Huh? If there's a guy in here that's never played Legos, you can leave now. Because you're not a guy, okay? Anyway, when I build Legos with my kids, now I do it with my grandkids. You know, all those Legos are all over the floor. And when you're putting one together, I remember needing a little white one with two bumps on it. Just two bumps, a little white one with two bumps. And they're hard to find. And there's green ones and red ones and yellow ones and blue ones. And man, you know what your mind has the ability to do?
Yes.
Disregard every other color because I'm focusing on finding a little white one with two bumps. And your mind can disregard everything else. I'm not even looking at them because I'm looking and searching for a little white one with two bumps. Even the white ones with four bumps I can disregard. I want a little white one with two bumps because I'm looking for the good in it. And if Christian, if you look for the good in the midst of your affliction, you can find it.
Amen.
You can find it. My son likes Mustangs. So we were taking a trip out to Colorado for a missions conference. And he was, every Mustang that would come by, oh, there goes a boss. Oh, there's an old 65 Mustang. Whoa, that's not gorgeous. Look at that convertible. Oh, look at that one. Oh, there's a 5.0 GT, baby. That's a big one. So we got to Colorado, and I said, oh, by the way, how many Volkswagens did you see? He said, well, I wasn't looking for Volkswagens. I didn't see any Volkswagens because I was looking for Mustangs. And Christian, If you look for the good in the midst of your affliction, you can find it. God maketh no mistake. You're going through what you're going through for a reason. So be of good cheer. You're absolved in your affliction. Be of good cheer. You are appointed to your affliction. Point number three. Turn to Mark chapter 6. Point number three. And in verse 50, these are the disciples that are in a storm. And in the midst of the storm, they said there in verse 50, for they all saw him and were troubled. And immediately he talked with them and saith unto them, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. Point number three, you're accompanied in your afflictions. There is never a time you go through any hard time or affliction that Jesus Christ doesn't go through it with you. Amen. Did he not say, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee? Amen. Never. He goes through it with you. Isaiah 41:10 says, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Whether it's in a burning fiery furnace, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, in a lion's den, Daniel, in a storm, the disciples, in a jail cell, Peter and Paul, he's right there with you. Was it not Paul that said, notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me? The Lord was right there in that jail cell with him. Wasn't it the angel of the Lord that opened up Peter's door to his cell and let him go free? The Lord is right there with you. He'll never leave you, Christian. He'll never put you through something that he doesn't put himself through as well. He's going with you. Not only are you accompanied by the Savior, but you're accompanied by the saints. In 1 Peter 5:8, a verse we know all so well. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished by your brethren that are in the world. Not only do you go through these things with the Savior, you go through these things with other saints. There's not one thing, doesn't matter who you are in here, there's not one thing that you're going through that someone hasn't gone through before you successfully. Amen. Giving God the glory. Amen. Understanding what good there was in it for them. You're accompanied by the Savior. You're accompanied by other saints that have gone through the very same thing. Doesn't the Bible tell us that? It says in 1 Corinthians 10:13, there is no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. A man was walking through the woods one day, and he came upon a cocoon hanging from a tree. And he saw that caterpillar that had metamorphosized into now a butterfly was trying to break open the cocoon. And it just had a tiny tear in it, and he saw that little butterfly struggling and struggling and struggling to try and get out of that cocoon. So he took out his penknife and thought he would do it a favor, and he cut the cocoon. And that butterfly fell to the ground and died. Because God designed it such that the breaking free of that cocoon would strengthen those wings to allow that butterfly to fly. And without that struggle, they never were able to fly on their own. It's important, Christian, that we struggle. God allows it. God appoints it. But how you go through it is important. It's important to God. God doesn't get glory when we don't go through it right. When we're kicking and screaming and complaining, walking around moping and miserable, We don't get any head tilts that way. The head tilts come when you go through it like Miss Kitty with a smile on your face, giving God the glory.
Amen.
Yes. You're accompanied in your afflictions. And point number four, be of good cheer. You're able in your afflictions. Did we not just read that? There is no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. Able, able. I used to work out with my boys. I mean, trust me, my boys did not want to work out with me. It was me that wanted to work out with my boys. So I wanted to try and teach them discipline. And discipline is hard. Discipline is tough. It takes right here. So we'd get up every morning at 5. And we'd take turns between the three of us going out to the shed and turning on the propane heater. So they'd turn on the heater, and then we'd come back inside. We'd have breakfast together while the shed was warming up. And the shed had all the weights in it. So then at about 6 o'clock, we'd go out there and have an hour to heat up, and it was definitely good. So when we'd start working out. Now, my sons at that time were like 13 and 16. And my youngest son, you know, the one thing I never did with my youngest son, I never put 300 pounds on the bar and then set it on his chest. But yet we think God does that to us. I love my children this much. God loves us this much. Why in the world would we think that God would want to crush us? I wouldn't do that to my son. But you know one thing I would do? When he was able to push 135, the next time I would make it up to 140.
Yes.
Why? Because you don't get stronger unless you increase the resistance.
Amen.
It's called resistance training. And God puts us through resistance training. And he continues to add a little bit more. That's why you wouldn't expect a 5-year-old to do what a 13-year-old can do. God wouldn't expect a newborn Christian who just got saved last week to do what I'm doing right now. No. But he does expect you to grow. He does expect you to get stronger. He expects this time next year for you to be stronger than you are right now.
Amen.
And how does that happen? With increased resistance. And he's going to put a little bit more on the bar every time.
Amen.
And you need to thank God for that.
Amen.
You know, nobody likes going to the gym. I mean, it's a pain in the neck. And you sweat, and it hurts, and the lactic acid. But you like the results of it. And that's why you do it. So, Christian, again, if we believe that book, that's the key, right? If we believe that book, all things work together for
good.
To them who love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose.
Amen.
All things work together for good. Allow God to use the afflictions in your life for his glory and for your good. You are able in your afflictions. Did you ever notice after a hurricane comes through and then they put it on the news, the Weather Channel and all the rest? Buildings toppled over, cars tipped upside down, semi-trucks flipped over. But those palm trees just remain standing. What's up with that? God designed them to be flexible. To be able to handle the storms of life. And Christian, we need to be more like palm trees. And be able to take it rather than always kicking against the pricks. Amen? Because it's not you. It's God. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. It is God which worketh in me both to will and to do of his good pleasure. It's God. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. By my God have I run through a troop, and by my God have I leaped over a wall. It's God. It's God. It's God. It's God. It's God. It's God. It's not you. He's right there with you. He wants you to go through it. He wants to strengthen you. But you have to look at affliction the right way, with the new man, not the old man. Two different points of view. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. He does it through you, Christian. And the last point, The last point. Nope, second last point. Ha ha, gotcha. John chapter 16. No, this actually goes along with what I was just saying. John chapter 16, I forgot to share this verse and you need to see it. John chapter 16, and in verse 33, to support everything I was just saying about being able in your afflictions. These things I have spoken unto you, in verse 33, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world.
Amen.
You are able. If he's in you, then you're able. Didn't Jesus say if you had faith of a mustard seed, you could move a mountain?
Yeah.
He's in you. You know you have more power in you than all the nuclear power plants and nuclear warheads in this world combined. That's how much power's in you. You have Jesus Christ, the creator of all things, living in you. And he says you can do it if you want to. You can do it if you'll use me. If you let me help you, we can get through it. And you'll be better off as a result of it. And the last point, point number five. Be of good cheer, you're approved by your afflictions. Look at Acts chapter 27. You're approved by your afflictions. Acts 27, look at verse 23. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God, that it shall be even as it was told me. When God sends affliction, Christian, he's sending you a compliment that he thinks your shoulders are big enough to carry it. Not just thinks, he knows they're big enough to carry it. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Well, we have a few more verses. Hang with me. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And in verse 4, but in all things, what's that word? Approving ourselves as the ministers of God in much patience in, what's that word? Afflictions, in necessities, in distresses. Yes, be of good cheer. You're approved by your afflictions. How you go through. There would have been no doubt that Miss Kitty was a Christian woman. There would have been no doubt. Why? Watch how she goes through affliction. You approve yourself. When people watch you, remember you're an epistle read of all men. People are watching you. People are reading you. They watch how you go through things. Everyone has a sphere of influence. There's not a person in here that's not being watched. I remember in Rochester, we had another snowstorm. Fancy that. Had another snowstorm, and it was a Sunday morning, and the snow was up to the trunk, the top of the trunk of the car. And we didn't know if we were going to be able to get to church or not. So all my family puts on their winter coats, their boots, their gloves, all the rest. We all grabbed a shovel and we went out there and we were digging out our car on a Sunday morning at like 9 o'clock in the morning so that we could go to church. And all of a sudden one of my kids said, Dad, look across the street. And I nonchalantly turned around and looked, and our neighbors, four of them, were standing in the window, in the big kitchen window, standing there looking at us just like this, watching us dig ourselves out so that they knew that we were Christians. They knew that, you know, we go to church, and we are digging ourselves out, and they were standing there watching with their heads tilted, saying, that's amazing. Look at that. That what a perfect opportunity to say, I can't get to church. Let's go inside with our PJs, have hot chocolate and coffee, and watch the Buffalo Bills. Amen.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's people watch us. You're being watched. So you might have cancer here tonight. You might be on the verge of bankruptcy here tonight. Maybe your best friend, you know, disowned you here tonight. Maybe you failed out of school, you failed a class, or you didn't do well on a test, or whatever the case may be, having a hard time finding a job, don't know if you can afford all this inflation, all these price increases. But you know somebody that has the answers to all of those. And says, I'll go through it with you. I'll give you what you need. I'll hold your hand. And with me, with you, you can do it. We can do it together. And it will be for my glory and it will be for your good. You'll be the stronger as a result. But how are you going to go through the afflictions that you suffer in life? That is your question tonight. That is what you have to answer. Because a lot of people say, I don't have to prove myself to anybody. Yeah, you do. Yes. Bible says, Paul told young Timothy, he said, but watch thou in all things, endure afflictions. Then what does he say? Do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. Prove it. You're a minister of Jesus Christ. You love the Lord. You want to live for him. Yes. Prove it. Amen. Prove it. Years ago, I preached a message entitled, Suffering, How Much Would You Like? And I used all the letters of the word suffering, S-U-F-F-E-R-I-N-G, and S, and I have verses to support each and every one of them. But S stands for establish, strengthen, and settle you. You, that you'd be unashamed of the gospel. F, for the forsaking of sin. The other F, for the furtherance of the gospel. E, for an example to others. R, to rejoice they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. I, for instruction in righteousness. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. N, that I'd have no fear of man. Amen. And G, for the glory of God. Amen. Now, any one of those a bad thing? Are you sure? Preacher, any of those bad? Come on, you be honest. Any bad? Establish, strengthen, and settle, is that bad? Nope. Unashamed of the gospel, is that bad? Nope. Furtherance of the gospel, is that bad? Nope. Forsaking sin, is that bad? Nope. An example to others, is that bad? Nope. Rejoicing, is that bad? Nope. Instruction in righteousness, is that bad? No fear of man, is that bad?
No,
glorify God, is that bad? Nope. How much would you like?
Yes.
How much suffering would you like? Ask God tonight, God, please send it my way. I would like to suffer for you. Send it my way. Because I want to be an example. I want to be a testimony for you. I want to press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I want to press. I want some resistance training. I want to get stronger for you. Be of good cheer, Christian. You know, Paul the Apostle said it himself. He said in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 8, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. Paul says in verse 17 of that chapter, for our light affliction is but for a moment. If Paul's affliction was light, you and I have never seen any. Is but for a moment. It worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. In conclusion tonight, be of good cheer. You're absolved. You're forgiven. Be of good cheer. You're appointed to your afflictions. Be of good cheer, you're accompanied in your afflictions, both by the Savior as well as the saints. Be of good cheer, you're able in your afflictions. And lastly, be of good cheer, you're approved by your afflictions. Christian, do God a favor and you a favor. Go out this week and tilt ahead.
Amen.
Preacher.